I've always been the kind of girl who likes to know things. Ever since I was a kid, I just sucked in everything that I could get from the world. Except the only things that stuck were irrelevant things. I can pretty much wax poetically on the cast of Growing Pains or the theme song to Scooby-Doo. I don't really have any knowledge that's actually important or does anything, but I always felt like my ability to suck up these facts was going to build me my 15 minutes of fame. My goal in life was to be famous by going on a game show. It's all I ever wanted. I would watch Wheel of Fortune, I'd watch Concentration, Pressure Luck, and all I ever wanted to do was be a contestant. So I got to college after a childhood spent in front of many a television watching everything that I could get my eyes on. I'm a whiz at Trivial Pursuit and was so excited when that game was created because it was really meant for me. So in college, I had this group of friends that was, let's just say, colorful, not just in the way that you would imagine. But they were, it's a really interesting bunch, and we always felt they had the same need that I had to be famous for something that nobody else cared about. We all wanted our 15 minutes of fame. And we would pretty much do anything that we could to get it. My first brush with fame was walking through the student center and seeing a sign that said, Howling Wolf Contest Here, which, like everyone in the world, said, that is so for me. So my friends and I get up and we enter the Howling Wolf Contest, which is exactly what you think it is. You stood on stage and you howled like a wolf. I didn't win, but my best friend won. And the contest was actually sponsored by MTV. And our prize was we got to go to Daytona Beach for MTV Spring Break. And anybody who had a television in the 80s knows about MTV Spring Break. It was bacchanalia. It was every naked, dirty 80s kid with giant hair and tiny bikinis out sweating in the sun. And the whole point of the trip was we would go, we got to go backstage at all the concerts, which was amazing. John Stamos actually autographed my boobs. And it was a great week, but I was still only fame adjacent. I didn't get what I really wanted, which was my own 15 minutes. Well, we had made an impression on the MTV staff because about 6 months later, they came out to our school to have auditions for a new game show. Now, my goal in life, all I ever wanted to do was be on a game show. And my friend Courtney, who won the Howling Wolf contest, called me up and said, you'll never guess, they're doing auditions for this new game show on MTV called Remote Control. Now, Remote Control was a classic quintessential 80s game show, and it was made for kids like me. It was based around the guy, Ken Ober, and it was set in his basement. And the whole premise of the show was Ken was a guy who spent his whole life watching television, and all he wanted to have was his own game show. Essentially, my life story. So we go to audition, and we get up and just are so unafraid to make fools of ourselves the way that somebody in their 20s are. And we are laughing and singing, but also, I know all the answers, and it's great. And every time they give me a question, I get it. And at the end of the day, when they finish the callbacks, I get called back with 10 of my friends. We all made the cut for the show. So what do you do when you're going to be on television in the 80s? I went out and got myself the biggest 80s weave I could find. It was a thing of beauty. I got that yakky Japanese hair, and it was huge. It combined with my gigantic 80s sunglasses, I looked a little bit like a giant hairy bug, but I so knew that this was gonna be my moment. I was gonna get there, and I was gonna blow the world away, and possibly be tapped to be my very own game show host. So the whole premise of the show is you're in this kid's basement. You're sitting in a lazy boy chair. You have a television where the clues come. You've got a remote control where you're changing the channels. And I get on there with my giant hair and my giant glasses, and literally the frame is a tiny head and huge hair. And I sit down and I'm answering my questions, but it's not going the way that I want it to go. I'm not winning. Now, the thing about me is I am extremely competitive about things that nobody else besides me cares about. If I have paid the less for my outfit than you, I won. I don't care what the contest is, I won it. So I'm sitting there and it's just not going well. And a feature of remote control is they have something called snack break, where in the middle of the show, they call out snack break and snacks fall from the ceiling on your head. It's classy, I know. So snack break is called and it starts raining Malamars. I don't know, Malamars. Marshmallows covered in chocolate mixed with gigantic weave. It is not going well for me. I wind up losing the show and getting flipped backwards in my Lazy Boy and dragged off stage. Funny thing is, afterwards, Colin Quinn, who at the time was the sidekick on the show, takes my friend, who also has made the show's phone number, and he calls us. And we are so excited because I'm thinking, I'm going to get my second shot at my fame. At least I can talk on the phone to a game show host sidekick. That's got to mean something, right? So Colin calls us, and we're having this great conversation until about half an hour in when I realize that he really just wants to not be in a game show with us, if you know what I mean. He wants a little more than that. So I hang up the phone, and thus goes my quest for game show fame. Fast forward a few years, phone rings again. It's my friend Courtney again. She says, Gina, this is it. They're doing a show called the Pop Culture World Series. I couldn't believe it. That is the holy grail for someone like me, who spends all of our time being a smartass and knowing the answer to everything. If you ask me what the name of the true name of Gopher on Love Boat is, I'm the girl who knows that. Burl Smith, by the way. I know that the Brady Bunch's dog was called Tiger and he was hit by a car. These things are in here, and they've been waiting to come out. So the World Series of Pop Culture, it seems like exactly what's made for me. So Courtney and my friend Tom and I form a team. We go down to a Manhattan hotel, and we audition. And I walk in, size up the competition. This is going to be a breeze. There is no way we're not getting cast on this show. Look at us. We're entertaining. We're funny, and I know stuff. I mean, I know stuff. So there's a quiz, and first round, we do great. Second round, we do great. Then it comes up to when you have to sit up and play the game. We play the sample game, we get knocked out, and I am devastated because this is my goal. This is what I am put on this earth to do, is win on a game show. And it's not going to happen for me. So we're walking out the door, and the producer pulls me aside and says, listen, you're not right for this show, but there's something else we're working on. Go down the hall and knock on the door and step in and talk to them down there. So I go down, and it turns out that they're doing auditions for another show produced by Yahoo Broadband. And this is back when internet-only content was just starting to be developed. So the show is called Hook Me Up, and it's a technology makeover show, which is fantastic. And so they sit me down and put a camera in front of me and ask me about my technology and what it's like. And at the time, we had one television in the house, and I had two small children. So I'm talking about my life with TV, and I say things like, I love TV, it's my favorite thing in the world, and it's how I get away, and my husband can't watch what he wants. He spends all of his time hiding in the bathroom because we won't let him watch TV. And I am espousing my love for TV, and then I leave. So next week, I'm having a little procedure done. And we're on our way home. And my cell phone rings. And I answer it. And they say, hello, is this Gina? You've been cast on Hook Me Up. We're going to give you a makeover. And I am thrilled. Except I'm so so very high from the drugs that they gave me that I'm not really sure what they've said. And I hang up and kind of thinking that this is going to happen. But also I think maybe it's just some sort of surgery-induced fever dream because it is my goal in life. But sure enough, a couple days later, there's a knock on my door and a film crew shows up. And there's a guy there, and he walks around my house, and I show him my technology, and we talk about technology, and I'm filming, and I am charming, because this is my moment. This is what I've been waiting for, and I'm sure that this is really where I am going to find my place in the world as a contestant on an internet reality show. So he tells me to leave, and I come back, and we do the big reveal, and they give me a 50-inch television. They've totally rewired all of my internet in my house, and I get this thing, which is a portable television that you can watch outside, and it gets cable. So one of the aspects of the whole shoot is they take us outside. They take me all around my house, and they think it's really funny because this whole thing is sponsored by Verizon to have me pop up with the he pops up behind me with the TV and says, "Can you hear me now?" And I sheepishly look and go, "Hee!" So cute. So he's in my dollhouse. He's popping out of my shower. He's under my couch. He pops up from the backseat of my car. And I am so in my glories because this is my moment. It's what I've been building up since I was 7 years old watching Press Your Luck. So then it airs. And not only does it air, but because this is the first time that Yahoo has created their own content, I'm actually the Yahoo homepage that day. So anybody who clicks on Yahoo, the first thing they see is my face in my car with the man behind me popping up with the television. This is the pinnacle for somebody like me. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be super famous, but I so needed to be on Yahoo one day. I need to be the homepage. Then I clicked on it. And I watched the show, and for the first time in my life, I'm as cute as I think I am. It was edited perfectly, and I didn't embarrass myself, or my children, or my husband, and my house looked great, and I had done my laundry, and they couldn't see all the crap that I'd hidden in the closet. This is my finest moment. Then I made the biggest mistake ever. I looked at the comments. Now, this moment, which was building for years and fun and trivial and everything that I wanted to do seemed so great until I read the comments. And I saw things like, "What's wrong with you? You need therapy. What kind of mother are you? Maybe if you stopped watching television and took care of your children, you'd be happier. How dare you make your husband go to the bathroom every day to have privacy? What kind of person are you?" And all of a sudden, this silly, frivolous, fun moment became something that I never imagined, where all of a sudden I became this object of ridicule for the entire world. And strangers were so moved by the sight of me playing around in my child's dollhouse with a television that they got out their computers and typed something about me. And I love having the last word. So I stalked around all afternoon trying to come up with the best response. And it ate me up inside because I couldn't imagine that what I did was so wrong and so reprehensible that somebody would actually decide to say something about it. And then I took pause for a second, and I remembered who I was. And I'm a girl who likes to know things. And what I learned that day and what I know is that the best way for a competitive person to win a contest like that is to not play.